Well, this will be a kind of a different show today for a couple reasons. First, I'm going to start off with our granddaughter, Libby, telling a joke, her joke, about three ropes, R-O-P-E-S, three ropes.
So there were three ropes and they decided to go to a bar. And so when they got to the bar, there was a sign that said, "No ropes allowed." So the first two ropes went up and they got recognized as ropes. So they came back and the third one's like, no, you're not smart like me. So the third one starts freighting itself and loosening itself and pulling its ends apart and knotting itself up. And he goes up to the barman and he says, "Can I get a drink?" And the barman's like, "Aren't you a rope?" And the rope says, "Nope, afraid not."
Afraid not. Great one, great one.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here's the host of Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox.
Well, I told you a couple things would be different. One was starting off with a granddaughter. Are you a regular listener? Do you recognize what the other thing is that's different? That opening announcement by the lovely Pat Gone from Among Women podcast. The opening announcement didn't mention my lovely wife, Dee. I'm looking for a co-host. Well, at least for this show. God willing, Dee will be back. She's in Pennsylvania enjoying time with her mom and a family reunion. So, the Deke is here all alone. This is Catholic Vitamin F, and let me read an email I have from dear listener Elizabeth from, I think it's North Carolina, wrote, "Hopefully I'm not too late, but alas, I may be, but here goes. My guess for Catholic Vitamin F is fertility. Not friendly, like I wrote to Dee just a minute ago. She wants me to enter fertility." Well, if I had a gong sound, Elizabeth, you would get the gong because today's vitamin is fidelity. And our special guest is Brian Flynn, a really genuinely nice guy, a humble fellow, somebody who is faithful to his faith, to his wife, to his family, and to the magisterium, and to evangelization. So we've got things we can talk about fidelity with Brian Flynn. He's a composer, a songwriter, and a musician of no little repute, I might add. And this is episode 92. God willing, we'll have a segment from Teresa Doyle Nelson. I think Denise is going to be with us. I don't know about Justin. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get him on this show. So Dee is away on a trip. And speaking of trip, we came back, Dee and I, and four friends, two other couples, came back from a trip to Colorado. We went to our old home, Estes Park, where we visited our parish and a number of parishioners. I participated as a deacon in three masses. The pastor, Joe Hartman, was very welcoming, very, very cordial. He let me preach a couple days, and on Wednesday of last week, a week ago, on Wednesday of that week, they had a reception down in the basement of the parish, and we got to see, quite a few dozen, maybe 40, 50, maybe as many as 60 people that we knew from our earlier days in Estes Park, and that was a great joy to my heart. And our friends from Arizona got to see what our beautiful parish was like, Our Lady of the Mountains, back in Estes Park. They got to meet some of the good folks there. We had a really great time. We took them over the Continental Divide. You know, when you take the highest paved, continuously paved road in America, that's the Trail Ridge Road over the Continental Divide, you go up to 12,000 feet, you go up above tree line. So we were up where it's just tundra and rock. We saw some elk, beautiful elk, while we were up there. And then on the way down, and this is very rare, at least from our 9.5 years of living in Colorado, we saw two moose. And gosh, were they ever majestic looking. Our guests, our friends from Arizona, were quite pumped about that. So let's see, what else can I say? We had a lot of good times, a lot of good scenery. We had walkie-talkies between the two cars. There were two cars going on this trip, so we had a lot of fun. We played trivia. Dee and I and the couple that was riding with us in the car, we started the rosary each morning and the Divine Mercy chaplet. And then we were doing things back and forth between the two cars. We also went up to the top of a mountain and met a wonderful, remet for Dee and I, a wonderful holy woman named Lucille. She's up about 8,300 feet. She lives all by herself. She's a contemplative. And her ministry is helping people on the phone. So we got a meeting with her for about an hour and a half, which is a great gift. We ended in prayer for all of our needs. Lucille led that prayer, and gosh, was it ever a joy. So that's a little bit about what's been going on with Tom and Dee. And as I said, I miss DW, and I'm going to check my email right now to see if I have anybody who would like to be a co-host for today.
With all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength, Lord, in me you will find that. In the depths of my soul and in all I can do, I surrender it all. I give it all up to you, and I will worship you, my Father. Suffered and bled, Lord, it should have been me, but you took my place instead. So I owe you my life and all that I am, and I come singing praise to the throne of the Lamb, and I will.
Exciting sound was none other than Brian Flynn, our guest coming up in a short bit. And that's from his album, Beyond the Veil, a neat beat song, I Will Worship You. I've had a little flurry of activity. Stephanie Week made outreach, and I'm trying to get in touch with her to see if she can join for a couple moments of co-hosting. And I think I may be able to reach Dee. We're going to try that in a bit. But right now, let's see if we can have one of our regular contributors, a great contributor, Teresa Doyle Nelson.
Hello, this is Teresa Doyle Nelson, author of Saints of the Bible and More Saints of the Bible. Today, my Saints and Scripture vitamin S is four faces. Maybe you have already seen depictions of the faces of a man, lion, ox, and eagle clustered together, typically adorned with wings and sacred arts. These curious faces first appear in Scripture within the very first chapter of the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel had had an extraordinary vision where God appeared to him gloriously surrounded by these uniquely faced creatures. These four faces appear a second time in Scripture, this time in John's book of Revelation, and again in glory with the Lord. Intriguingly, for more than 1,500 years, these four creatures have symbolized the four gospel writers. St. Matthew's symbol is the winged man. One way to remember this is by recalling that Matthew's gospel begins with the genealogy of Christ, a long list of men. St. Mark is represented by the lion. This can be recalled by noting that Mark's gospel begins with John the Baptist, confidently proclaiming the coming of the Lord, bravely and boldly, like a lion. Luke's gospel begins with St. Zechariah in the temple, where oxen were sometimes sacrificed for the Lord, and Luke's symbol is the ox. While Matthew, Mark, and Luke have common themes and some overlapping in their gospels, John's gospel presents a different dimension. Some claim that in a theological sense, it soars above the others, like an eagle, and John's gospel is symbolized with the eagle. This Sunday, when you go to church, see if you can find portrayals of these four faces somewhere inside your church, maybe within a stained glass window or painting, and take a few moments to pray to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and St. Ezekiel. Ask these saints to say a few special prayers for your intentions. Much peace and goodness on your day.
Hello, Dolores.
Hello, Thomas.
That's what they call you back in Pennsylvania. How are you, dear?
I'm fine. It's good to hear from you.
And it's really good to hear from you. I've missed you for several days. I have to tell you something funny. Can I tell you something really neat?
Yes.
I put out a tweet, and I think it was yesterday morning or midday, which said, DW is away on vacation. Make sure you let her know that you've seen me at church. And I had somebody from Minneapolis, I think it was, who said, oh, yes, Tom, we saw you in church at the evening mass. Oh, wait a minute, you don't live here?
That's funny.
It is.
Well, I don't think I could, I don't know that I could get Monsignor Little to confirm that I was in mass this morning because I don't know that he recognized me.
Oh, really? Oh.
And there were just too many people going up to him as we were coming out of church, and I didn't want to try to remind him who I was.
All right. Well, people, I think they've been told already that you're back in Pennsylvania. You're back there visiting your mom, and you were at a family reunion. Give us a thumbnail. What's it been like?
That was really good. It was a reunion on part of my mom's side of the family, and it's one that they hold every year, and it's one that I have not been to in many, many years. And they said that over recent years, in the last, say, 10 years, the numbers have been dwindling because the older folks are dying off and the younger folks weren't coming. But a little more interest has come about in the past couple of years, and we had over 124 there yesterday.
Wow. Really nice. Wow, that's awesome.
It was really nice. A lot of younger families with their kids, and in a lot of cases there were like three generations of different families there.
Well,
so it was really nice, and I got to see a lot of distant cousins that I hadn't seen in a long time.
As you know, one of our favorite shows was Catholic Vitamin F the first time around for family.
Right.
And I'm so glad that you were there for that part of family. I enjoyed when I went to Canada to go to a family reunion on my late mom's side of the family. And so those are neat things to do. And I bet you had a few things to eat, didn't you?
Oh, just a few. And it's funny, my mom, we're getting her into the car. You know, it takes a little bit of time to get her in the car because of, and then folding her walker up and putting it away. And somebody came running out with a piece of pie, rich-looking pie, on a plate and said it was for her. Somebody said that they were to give it to her, and she was to take that home. Well, you know how far it is from the picnic grounds to my mom's house. It's not very far.
No.
Well, she couldn't even wait till we got home. She was starting to eat it in the car.
Oh, gosh. She's still full of pie and vitality, P&V, huh?
Oh, she is. We just finished playing a couple rounds of dominoes, which is a Sunday afternoon ritual here.
Well, sounds like you're having a nice visit. You know, I've missed you. Love you. And I'm looking forward to picking you up on Tuesday. I'll call you back because I have something to talk to you about that. But I'm looking forward to you coming back. You are coming back, aren't you?
Yes, I am. It's been a good visit. I've done a lot of things with Mom. I'm staying with her, so I'm with her 24/7 for these few days, and it's always good.
Sure. Let me see. Not much news at our end, so I think we'll wrap up here and just say that, I wanted to say that I started the program with Pat Gohn's introduction to Catholic Vitamins, and it just said with your host, Deacon Tom Fox. It didn't say his lovely wife.
Oh, I'm hurt.
Well, but we'll find the correct one next week, God willing, when you're back in the chair beside me.
Okay. All right.
And Stephanie Week has been trying to reach me, and I'm trying to reach her. Maybe she'll come on the show for a couple minutes.
Well, that would be great. It's nice to have somebody else pop in and help out.
Sure. Love you very much, and thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you, dear. See you later.
Hello, this is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh, and weekly host of This New Evangelization on Catholic Vitamins each week. Inspired by current events and weekly readings, we look forward to the new evangelization that Pope John Paul II prophesied. In fact, we believe that after the beatification of JP II, the great miracle that will lead to his canonization will be the birth of this new evangelization.
Well, thank you, Justin Stroh, for a little plug for Catholic Vitamins, and we hope we have one of your new evangelization segments on our next show. We're ready now for our guest, Brian Flynn. I hope you'll enjoy this, and I hope you will enjoy his music as well. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Brian Flynn. He's a songwriter, a composer, he's a musician, a singer, and he is a faithful, to pick up on our theme of fidelity, he is a faithful Catholic and husband, and I'm looking forward to our time together. Brian, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. I have some knowledge of you from some research I've done and some other work that I've done in connection with an organization that you're a part of. We'll come to that during the interview. For those who are new to the young and exciting Brian Flynn, you are young and exciting, aren't you?
It depends on who you ask.
Okay. Tell us about the very young Brian, your family of origin, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I was born into a musical family, cradle Catholic. Growing up, I was always infused with, you know, phrases of the faith, discussions regarding the faith, positive witnesses regarding the faith. My grandmother actually was a nun, which is always an interesting thing, kind of catches people off guard, but after my grandfather died long before I was born, she received permission from her bishop to found a religious order for widows. So all the nuns in her convent were also widows. And so that was an example that I had growing up. And then one of her sons, my uncle, Father Mike, is a priest. And so he wasn't a priest when I was young, but he was in formation. And you know, he's been a great faithful priest in Connecticut for years now. And so that was a positive witness. And then my dad was always very active in the faith growing up, you know, active in prayer meetings and in music ministry. And as well, he would be attending things like fire rallies and Life in the Spirit seminars. And so that's kind of what I witnessed as a young kid. We kind of grew up in an interesting area and an interesting time where, you know, right down the road from where we grew up was the National Shrine of Divine Mercy, Stockbridge, Massachusetts. But we went there a lot for Mass growing up, but then we also kind of bounced around to some of the local parishes to find one that had CCD, you know, because I come from a family of seven, and so we needed that communal aspect that a parish can offer. And after years of kind of bouncing around and various parish closures and whatnot, we pretty much ended up settling at the Shrine of Divine Mercy, and that kind of became our parish, even though it's not technically a parish. So that was when I was a young kid, and there was an altar server up there, and you know, I really had a positive experience with the faith at that point. Kind of as I grew older to my teen years, I became very questioning. I'm stubborn, so I don't like to do things just because I'm told to. You know, it's a popular line that even I, as a parent, now use with my kids: do it because I'm the boss and I tell you. But I don't respond really well to that, even though I say that to my own kids. And so I challenged things. And there was a time in my teen years and young adulthood that I really fell away. Didn't practice the faith at all. Until I was just at a lonely point and a low point in my life, after living several years of basically a hedonistic lifestyle, trying out what the world said was what we should do rather than what my parents and the positive influences suggested. And I really think that the grace of the sacraments and the prayers of people like my dad and my grandmother, Sister Grandma, we used to call her, and Father Uncle Mike and people like that, the prayers that they had along with that grace of my sacraments of initiation really helped to, and when I hit that low point, the only thing left that I could think of was to just find the nearest Catholic church, and I just went in and wept, and that was the beginning of my conversion, reversion, you know, depending on what you want to call it. And from then, it's been just an onward journey of, you know, seeking out truth and growing in my faith, and then realizing that, you know, any of the gifts that I have, I should probably give them back to God. And so that's why I've been involved in ministry ever since that time.
What a beautiful journey you've described. I'm particularly sensitive in my own life to the prodigal son story because I have been the son, and so I'm made tender by your words. And tell us about meeting your wife. Who is she, and was she Catholic?
Yeah, my wife is also one of seven. She's from Michigan, which is why we ended up living in Michigan. But beautiful young lady that I saw studying under a tree at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and asked her to go on a hot air balloon ride, even though I would never go on a hot air balloon ride. I just thought it sounded cool. I'm afraid of heights. But it was a good pickup line. It worked.
Yeah, hey.
She stuck with me. But we've been married 12 and a half years now and have six beautiful children. And so, yeah, I mean, we met at Steubenville. And basically, I mean, we met and were engaged in 4 months and married in 12. So it's we were both at the point where we knew what we had and why wait, and we were both about to graduate anyways, and so we both kind of fought it at first. We both came from relationships where we had been burned, so to speak, and so we were very questioning. You know, we challenged all the blessings the Lord kept giving us, and it seems like every time we'd say, well, gosh, this is great, but it's moving a little quick, Lord, he would send some sort of confirmation that, no, this is what I want, keep going. And we did, and here we are now with, like I said, six beautiful children. And she's a nurse, and she's able to kind of treat that as a ministry. She's talked to several patients out of having their tubals and going on different forms of contraception, and she's been able to, you know, use her conscience clauses to avoid being roped into surgical procedures and things that would be considered unethical and immoral.
Because I do a lot of research related to Catholic vitamins and the guests that we bring on. Is your wife's name Colleen?
No, actually, that's my sister.
Oh, your sister.
But I have sang with my sisters at various conferences and events around the country, and they either assume that they're my wife or my girlfriend or something, but...
Well, so much for my research, but I thought I had run across something about or by your wife and the name Colleen, because I'm Irish, stuck with me, beautiful story about meeting your wife. I love the idea of the double meaning of the pickup line on the campus about going up on a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
Listeners to Catholic Vitamins will know that I've talked about Franciscan University often, and we carry segments of the summer conference speakers, and Mark Nierbos, the director of Christian Outreach, has been on our show, and we also do commercials for them free of charge, but
Great. Yeah,
we do promote Franciscan University, great place. Mm-hmm. Well, our topic is fidelity, and you know, I know that music is a part of your faith walk. I looked up a couple definitions for fidelity: strict adherence to faithfulness in our marriage vows, especially conjugal faithfulness, and observance of laws, regulations, guidelines, traditions, practices, which describes what we promote here on Catholic Vitamins, faithful Catholic practice. Our first vitamin was A for adoration, B for beauty in the church, and you're helping us look at fidelity. Any words as we get started with the topic of fidelity?
Well, actually, the main area of music ministry that I feel called to and that I've been striving to write original Catholic music to be able to use in this ministry is kind of like musical evangelization, if you will. It's when I turn on Christian radio or throw a CD in or an MP3 and listen to it to praise the Lord, I'm usually not listening to my own music. I'm listening to a lot of, you know, just Christian praise and worship, or there's some really good Catholic artists out there too, but I have not seen a lot of Christian or Catholic artists really trying to teach with the music to really draw from the rich treasury of scripture, tradition, and the magisterium as the dogmatic constitution on divine revelation from the Second Vatican Council. You know, this is where God reveals himself to Catholics, I mean to all of us, but Catholics recognize that he reveals himself in these three ways. And so, you know, a lot of Christian praise and worship, they're drawing from scripture alone. And then a lot of the Catholic music, a lot of contemporary Catholic music kind of mimics that, kind of copies that. But I really have tried to get some of the fathers of the church and some of the writings of the saints and the scriptures from the Catholic perspective and the sacred tradition of the church into the songs. And so this topic of fidelity, I think, definitely fits with some of the songs that I've been putting out, just because in order to be faithful to the magisterium, faithful to Christ and his church, faithful to one another in our faith, we need to be reminded and we need to continue learning about what it is that our faith teaches so we can be faithful. You know, all of us sometimes take for granted the teachings of our faith, and we need refreshers. And then sometimes, you know, we even learn new things that we didn't know. Well, I know I do quite often. And so as in regards to the faith and how it applies to our life. And so I've tried to really tackle that with the songs that I've been putting out, including on the upcoming album that should be out by the end of the 2011 calendar year. You know, I want people to be able to sing along to the words of the saints and the fathers of the church, and along with the scriptures and, you know, catechism quotes, you can stick that into music. So as far as that fidelity topic, that's really what I've been striving for.
Awesome. You're a great guest so far.
to help us look at this. Now, just going back to marriage vows for a minute, I somehow came upon information that you wrote a song and sang it, excuse me, for your wife at your wedding. Can you tell us about the song and then we'll listen to it?
Yeah, the song is called The Greatest Gift, and I really still, 12 and a half years later, believe that, you know, aside from the gift of Christ himself to us, Christ gives himself to us in the persons of other human beings, especially in marriage where the two become one, and she still is the greatest gift. It was, she was for sure a godsend under that tree, and we've, you know, every marriage has its challenges and struggles, and you know, when two people from different backgrounds and cultures are striving to become one, that's not always easy, but I do still feel day in and day out that she is that greatest gift. And so that's the way I named the song. And basically I took some of her favorite scripture quotes. Namely, there's some from Ephesians, there's some from the book of Ruth, and then also from the rites of marriage, the marriage ritual itself, the vows, and just kind of wove that into a song. And then I honestly finished it like a couple days before our wedding, because I had been finishing up my studies at Steubenville, and then the whole planning of the wedding, and then starting a new job, and it was just crazy. And she was taking her boards for nursing, and it was just crazy before our wedding, and so much going on. So I finished it right before the wedding, and I didn't even have the words memorized. I had to use a notebook the night of our wedding when I sang it to her. But they cleared the dance floor and dragged a piano over from the church for me, and they sat her down in the middle of the dance floor on a chair, and I sang it to her, and she, I don't know if she wept out of embarrassment or if she was moved or touched or all of the above, but it was a moving experience. And in fact, I never had that song released. It wasn't on my first album, which I recorded in the first year of our marriage. And then we decided, you know, people in our area anyways, because I sing at a lot of weddings here in Michigan, and people were asking if I would do that song at their weddings. And I at that point I was like, nope, that's hers. But then she saw the merit in having a good Catholic song that people could use instead of a lot of the other garbage, quite honestly, that is being played at weddings. Even at receptions. And so we decided to put that song on my second album, In the Sight of the Angels, and ever since then it's been available in print form for people. You know, other music directors have called and asked for that song, and it's actually going to be redone. It's going to kind of have a fresh take on it. It'll be on the new album in 2011.
So I'm a sentimental Irish deacon, and I think I would be crying if I was listening to that and it was your wedding and I was there. I would be crying. Let's take a listen to Greatest Gift.
Go, I will go, and I'll be faithful to you.
this day we'll walk together, whether sick, well, rich or poor. From this day we will be one no longer two. There may be times down in the valleys, other times upon the mountains, but no matter where he leads us, I promise to you that I'll be patient with you. And whatever you do, I will walk beside you. Where you go, I will go, and I'll be faithful to you. I'll be strong and true. When you need a hand, when you need a friend, I'll be there. I love you. When the times are hard, we'll know that our Lord will give us strength. When you're alone or scared, just call and I will come to protect and stand by you. When at times you fall, my arms will be open wide to support and comfort you. And when at times I fall, me better to love you, and I'll be patient with you, and whatever you do, I will walk beside you. Where you go, I will go, and I'll be faithful to you. I'll be strong and true. When you need a hand, when you need a friend, I'll be there.
Okay, we're back with Brian Flynn, our guest on Catholic Vitamins. Our topic is fidelity, and I have read a number of testimonials about your music, and we're playing some today on our show. Many people are moved by your work, and, you know, someplace between humility and appreciation for the gifts we have. How do you carry the mantle of fidelity to those who respond with a lot of praise for your work?
You know, it's funny you ask, because as I've mentioned, I'm in the process of releasing a new album. I'll be actually going to Nashville shortly to work on that, and like I said, it should be out by the end of the 2011 calendar year. But I've kind of gotten involved with a publisher out of Chicago, and so it's, the music's going to be getting into a new audience and taken to a new level, and so that's kind of been a burden for me. Not a bad burden necessarily, but it's been an extra burden for me to make sure that I'm staying faithful to the teachings of the church and the correct interpretations of them. So actually, for this album, I've actually sent the lyrics out for review, not just to the publisher, but to several friends and priests that are friends with me, that are trusted theologians, very reputable, even on the national speaking circuit, to kind of help me out as theological advisors, just because I take that seriously. Because, you know, as I mentioned before, there's a lot of other music that doesn't really have the depth of the fullness of teachings of the truth that the Catholic faith has, and that's fine. I love that music, but I'm trying to release some that maybe has a little more richness to it. But because of that, you need to make sure that it is faithful and true to what the church actually teaches. And so not only have I sent the lyrics out to these theological advisors, as well as the publisher's editorial committee, but I'm waiting to hear back from them, but they said that they've never done this before, but I've asked our bishop's office, you know, do they ever give imprimatur on music lyrics? You know, they do that on print, you know, books,
sure,
that type of thing all the time, but I thought, well, if the purpose of the music is to teach and to, you know, put forth the truths of our faith, why not have an imprimatur? That could also be another added layer of, you know, just sureness that these songs are faithful and true to what we believe.
Well, let's move into your albums. You mentioned your first one, but I must admit that before starting some of my work to get ready for our time together, I was unfamiliar with your work. So why don't you do an overview of who you've been writing for and about your albums?
Well, currently I've got three albums on the market. The first is called Built on Faith, and that was something I was just excited. I was very involved in music while I was at Franciscan University of Steubenville. In fact, I played at all of the summer conferences for two summers and was involved with the Festival Praise Band there and had a group that we did music ministry for some of the liturgies on campus, as well as when we were in, you know, the Travel Abroad program in Europe. So I was just coming right out of graduation, and the first album, Built on Faith, we made that very first year that we got married. And so a lot of the songs that were on there were just contemporary Christian songs that we had sung at Steubenville or that I was fond of myself and I wanted to cover. So they were not originals. And then I did write a couple of songs for that first album that were originals. One of them is called The Prodigal Father. That is basically a kind of a twist on the story of the prodigal son from the father's perspective. And then I wrote a psalm. I mean, I obviously didn't write the psalm itself, but I put a psalm to music. And then the second album is called In the Sight of the Angels. And that was released probably 4 or 5 years after the first one. And that one is almost all originals. There were 8 originals, and the rest were cover songs, you know, including an Ave Maria and then a couple other, again, contemporary Christian songs that I just loved to praise the Lord with. That's the one where the wedding song, The Greatest Gift, is on. And then the more recent album came out in 2009, and that's called Beyond the Veil. And that was the first album that I used a producer with, and so I got a totally different sound, and it's just incredible to see what somebody who's talented in that area can do when you give them your creativity and let them be creative with it. And that album actually won 3 Unity Awards in 2010 year calendar year. It won for, there's a song that I wrote for a parish priest up here in Michigan called You Are a Priest Forever, and that was for his 25th anniversary to the priesthood. As well as some Eucharistic songs and some praise and worship songs, and then just some scriptural praise songs. And so it won Devotional Song of the Year for You Are a Priest Forever. It won Praise and Worship Album of the Year, and it won Liturgical Sacramental Song of the Year for a song that's called Panis Verae, which basically takes some of the words from the Lauda Sion, which is written by St. Thomas Aquinas, and then I added some of my own lyrics to it and incorporated some of the kind of prophetic psalms referring to the Eucharist into that. So on all 3 albums, there's some Eucharistic music just because, again, I mean, this is supposed to be Catholic music, and that's one of the main differences that separates us from, you know, the other 32 or so thousand Christians in the United States alone, is the belief in the true presence. And so I'm just stuck on that. I have to have Eucharistic songs on all the albums. And so there's been that kind of common thread woven through them. And then, like I said, I'm working on another album, and kind of in getting involved with this publisher, what we're doing is we're taking some of the originals from the first two albums, and we're going to re-record those and reproduce them along with six brand new songs, and then release that on a new album. And a lot of those songs have kind of, you know, without any original plan, they've kind of taken on a theme of eternal life. And so there's some songs referring to what Catholics believe about salvation and, you know, the last things. So those are the original three albums, and then the upcoming fourth. That's what we've got so far.
Wow. Gosh, I'm almost hopeful that we can track you down late in the year or early in the new year, God willing, and maybe just get a short update on the new album and how it came together and how you feel about it. But setting that aside, for people that will want to reach out or to try to find your music, tell us about your website or wherever you have connectivity on the web.
Yeah, I mean, the newest album, Beyond the Veil, is available through, you can get it from my website, which is www.brianflynnmusic.com. You can also find the two original albums, Built on Faith, as well as In the Sight of the Angels. And you can find some sheet music on my website as well. And there's like a calendar of any upcoming appearances or events I'll be singing at, and updates on the new album, that kind of thing. But the newest album you can also find on Amazon.com and iTunes and, you know, any of the digital download sites out there, as well as you can find it through the publisher that I've developed this relationship with, and that's WLPmusic.com. So it's WLPmusic.com out of Chicago, and that album, Beyond the Veil, is also available on their website, and there will be, you know, sheet music available on their website in the, you know, months to come. So
we'll put links to Brian, that's B-R-I-A-N, Flynn Music. That's right, isn't it, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
BrianFlynnMusic.com and WLPmusic.com. We do a blog page that is sort of the other leg of the show that we put out each week, and we'll put the links in case anybody isn't able to take a pencil and write down what Brian just shared. So tell us about the organization that you're a part of.
Well, my family, like I said, my dad was always involved in music ministry, and so kind of when my siblings and I all wandered away and then him crawling back, we all kind of had similar reversion experiences to some degree or another, and we're all involved in music ministry now to some degree or another. You know, some of us, it's our main livelihood or main, you know, goal, I guess, with our gifts, and some of them is a little less, but nonetheless, we're all involved in ministry. And that organization, Mercy Song, it's an organization that my dad started basically because of his involvement with the Divine Mercy. He used to actually work at the National Shrine of Divine Mercy and the Marian Helpers Center, where they published, you know, a lot of materials on the Divine Mercy. And so when my dad goes around speaking and singing, a lot of that has to do with the Divine Mercy devotion, and so we've all helped out with that too. Like when he's in Michigan, he'll call me up and I'll go and help out with some of the parish missions and that kind of stuff. And even sometimes we'll even travel, like whether it's to conferences, we've done some conferences in California, some pretty big ones out there, and or parish missions like in Wisconsin, New York State, Ohio, wherever. And then, you know, if he's down south, he'll call my brother in Texas and he'll help out and that kind of thing. But it's really a family ministry where, and it's anything from speaking to just music to speaking with music or to, you know, teaching, you know, seminars.
So give us the contact information for that organization.
You can just do a search online because they have a couple different websites, but the easiest is just to type in Mercy Song Ministries or Spirit Song Ministries and Vinnie Flynn, and you'll come up with that website, which will have links to all of our other ministries as well as any of the products. Like, The Chaplet of Divine Mercy that we sing on EWTN every day, you can get a recording of that from that website. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's mercysongministries.com, but to be honest with you...
Okay, all right. But, all
yeah,
right.
I mean, I just called Dad. Okay. I need to get a hold of him, so sure. I don't even know the...
Well, just as a sidebar, I'm the chaplain for the Knights of Columbus Council in our parish, and we're trying to start a program in our parish that'll start, we think, in late August and then really ramp up in September. And we're going to be using Seven Secrets of the Eucharist as our first program offering to try to call men to new holiness in the parish.
Great.
So, gosh, this has just been such a joy. And, you know, time has flown by. I really want to thank you, and I'm touched by several things that you said. We'll close with part of your music at the end of our show. Do you have any closing words for our listeners about fidelity or the faith journey?
Well, I mean, I would definitely say continue to learn. Anytime there's any questions or struggles that we have in our faith, you know, let's not give up or turn away. Let's seek out the truth because it's there. You know, we're taught, you know, all as from when we're young onward, we're taught that the Catholic Church contains the fullness of truth. Well, we don't always see it or we don't always understand it, but don't give up. We just keep seeking it out. Find trustworthy people to talk to. And music, since it does have such a value to teach and evangelize as well as inspire, you know, seek out music that contains the truths of our faith and not just, you know, whimsical, you know, sentimental lyrics, but some that actually will build us up in our Catholic faith.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins has been Brian Flynn, a Catholic singer, songwriter, evangelist, and a worthy guest to have on for the topic of fidelity. Brian, we will, I promise, keep you in our prayers. We'd ask for your prayers for our little ministry here on Absolutely. Catholic Vitamins.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hi, this is Denise Bossert with a message on vitamin F from Catholic by Grace. I'm trying to figure out why the mother of the prodigal son wasn't anywhere in the story. In real life, those anguish-filled mothers are everywhere. They are in every parish, in every town. We know their names. We've seen their tears. They scan the shelves at local Catholic bookstores for titles that will ease their pain or provide them with tips to help their grown children rediscover their Catholic faith. These mothers have a patron saint in Saint Monica. They find solace in the fact that Saint Monica's bishop said that it is not possible that the son of so many tears should perish. They relentlessly knock at heaven's gate, imploring divine assistance. They quietly enter the adoration chapel and claim an hour of our Lord's time. They persistently remain on their knees in prayer long after the aches and pains of middle age demand attention. They have learned the holy art of praying without ceasing. They can do it anywhere, during their commute to work, while throwing a load of clothes in the washing machine, even while thumbing through a magazine in a doctor's waiting room. These mothers have learned to convert all of life's work into a most efficacious prayer. No bit of suffering is wasted. It's a kind of spiritual frugality. God calls it faithfulness. It is a fidelity to God and a fidelity to her call to step in the gap between God and her children and to pray them home again. Any remake of the prodigal story would have to include the boy's mother. In this version, she would keep her eyes fixed on the road, waiting expectantly. She would wipe away a steady stream of tears when the music swells and the sun rounds the bend, making his way up the long lane. She might even set off to meet their son halfway and slip her arm inside his arm and match him step for step all the way home. She would only release him when they reach that front step and she lets him fall safely into his father's arms. And then the old story would go on as it always has. Get him a new robe, kill the fatted calf, our son has come home. Yes, I'm convinced that any retelling of this story would require the addition of a mother to the list of characters. And I think it has something to do with our transition into the new covenant. For we have a mother. Her job description is to get us home to the Father. Jesus Christ gave her that mission from the cross when he said, "Woman, behold your son." Every day she waits and prays. She turns to the Father and implores him to be patient just a little longer. The boy will come home. She just knows it in the depths of her immaculate heart. Yes, there are even daughters mixed in with these prodigal sons, and the mother is praying for their return too. The mother is Our Lady, and she waits for us. She intercedes for us, and she meets us on this journey to lead us to perfect fidelity to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
I don't know how long you've been a listener to Catholic Vitamins. I hope you have been with us for a while, or that you will be with us for a long time. What a gift, what an absolute gift Denise Bossert is to Catholic Vitamins. That vitamin on fidelity and Saint Monica just touched my heart. I've always loved the Monica and her son story, Saint Augustine. Well, we have some thunder in the background, but our heart is full of sunshine because we connected with someone new. Well, our guest this afternoon on Catholic Vitamins is a young lady from Milwaukee, Stephanie Week. She's known on various venues, and she's on Twitter as Angel Steph. She's a Catholic, a music teacher, a parish music director, and all around a media junkie and TV addict, and we'll talk in a minute about a podcast that she's doing. Stephanie, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Hello, Deacon Tom. It's a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you. It has been, what, two or more years since we met in San Antonio. We spent some hours, you and Dee and I, together, and we talked and enjoyed getting to meet each other. At that time, we didn't do a podcast, and I guess you didn't either, come to think of it. But we were followers of some of the people who were involved in new media, and we're glad that we got to know you. How are things at your end?
Things are going okay. It's better than a couple days ago. I had a little bike accident on Thursday when I got hit by a car when I was biking down the street on Thursday, but I'm doing much better now, so it's slowly healing from all the injuries.
Oh, boy. How's your bike?
It was pretty banged up, but it got fixed, so it's all good there.
All right, all right. So what are you doing for the summer? You're not teaching right now, right?
Right. I'm off for the summer. I'm working a little bit more at one of my part-time jobs, and just mostly trying to enjoy my time being off.
Great, great, great. Before we get into your podcast, I was saying when we weren't recording that our vitamin for today is F, Catholic vitamin F for fidelity, and wondered if that brought up any person, situation, or value that it calls to mind in your life.
Well, it brings up two situations. One, a positive one, not a so positive. I'll start with the positive one. I think that word fidelity really calls to mind the gospel read from today of the sower and the seeds, of throwing your seeds into the things that are good and rooting yourself into the good things. So that's a good lesson in fidelity. And then a not so good one is that my parents are going through a rough time right now, and they're in the process of getting divorced, and it's a very tough situation for all of us right now.
Oh, I'm sorry for what you're going through. If you will mention their first names, we'll put them on our prayer list here and ask for prayers for all of you from our listeners.
Jean and Susie.
Jean and Susie. God be merciful, and God bring healing. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your podcast, which I think you told me you started in September. What's it about?
is my friend Kian Tran, who actually I met in San Antonio when I met you. We met there, and we decided to do a podcast a couple years later, and we started last September. And it's called TV Rewind. It's a review and news show. We start off with taking a pause for the news and talkings that have come out in the news, and then we review a couple shows that have that we've watched in the last week and our thoughts on them, and then preview some shows that are coming up in the following week, and then give a suggestion for something that somebody could check out on DVD.
Sounds neat. I'm sure you've gotten some feedback or some people like that sort of help with TV. Any show that you want to mention or recommend?
And there's one that's called Switched at Birth that I've really been enjoying this summer. And it's a new show that just came out. And it's about these two girls that are aged 15, and they find out that through a freak situation that they were switched at birth. And one girl comes from a wealthy family in a neighborhood, and one comes from a inner city and not from a very good background. And she also is deaf from meningitis when she was young. So these girls find out that they were switched at birth. They meet their birth parent or parents in that case. And then the girl who lived in the inner city comes to live at the compound that the other family lives in. So they're all on the same property, getting along and trying to figure out who they are and how this happened. So it's been a good show for me.
Well, good, good. All right. Well, if we see anything on the TV horizon that interests us or that we have a question about, I guess maybe people can reach out to you at Angel Steph on Twitter, or do you have a email address or some communication through TV Rewind?
Yeah, you can reach us on Twitter. We're TV Rewind on Twitter, and you also can reach us at email tvrewindpodcast@gmail.com.
There you go. Great. Well, I was able to, I was able to get connected with Dee and let her know that I was reaching out to you. She thought it would be kind of neat to have you come on the show. So thank you for taking a couple minutes to come on Catholic Vitamins.
It was my pleasure.
Blessings to you, Angel Steph.
Thank you. You too.
Well, that lovely piano music was by John Sarta. That song, of course, is the popular Christian song, You Are Mine. And that's from his album, The Catholic Music Project. I'll give thanks to our visitors and friends of Catholic Vitamins in just a moment. I want to let you know that this is the drawing week or weekend for Dawn Marie Roeder's book. And Dee pulled, before she left, a couple names. Let me see here. This is for Dawn Marie's book, It Doesn't End Here. The first name that we pulled is Joanne Reed from Pennsylvania. And the second name is Linda K. White. And so we'll get in contact with you, get your mailing information, and we'll have Dawn Marie Roeder send you her autographed book. It's a great book. We had another author friend of ours who reviewed the book the last week, and she said it was just great, very touching. So I hope you enjoy Dawn Marie Roeder's It Doesn't End Here. Well, let's see. Sister Kathleen Glavich sent an email. She says, do you remember Sister Kathleen Glavich? She was on our show when we talked about the Psalms quite a while ago, probably a year and a half ago. My last book published is a 16-page workbook on grief for children. And in production, I have another children's daily Advent book, a teacher manual for the New Testament of St. Mary's Press Catholic Youth Bible, a children's catechism, and a biblical people kit. In my computer, I have a manuscript of art ideas for religious teachers, and I'm awaiting another big assignment from St. Mary's Press. She says that in February she visited Arabia again. Now, you talk about a busy, busy, holy Catholic woman. Sister Kathleen Glavich must be up around 55 or 58 books that she's published. So God be with her, and thanks for checking in with us. Mary Donaldson sent an email. Dear Deacon Tom and Dee, I received the t-shirt today and I am amazed. You two are the best. Thank you so much. I will wear with pride and evangelize our faith and tell others in my parish about your wonderful podcast. What a wonderful blessing it has been to have you in my life. Thank you again so very much. Many blessings to you, Mary Donaldson. We put her web address on our blog page. She's a wonderful Catholic artist and designer, and she did our Catholic Vitamins logo, a good part of which was in some free t-shirts that we had. And I had a voicemail from Sarah Reinhart asking for any leftover t-shirts. And since Dee is away, I don't know what to say to Sarah, because I'm not sure if we have any left at all. So, Angel Steph, thanks for coming on for a couple minutes. Denise Bossert, thanks for the tender look at Catholic Vitamin F for Fidelity. Teresa Doyle Nelson, an educational look at Vitamin F for Faces. And then Brian Flynn, we just really thank you for the time and honor of having you on Catholic Vitamins. We'll close with another one of your songs, You Are a Priest Forever, excuse my voice. And go to his website, Brian's website, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, FlynnMusic.com. Well, that's about all that we have for this show, Catholic Vitamins. I want to do Vita Scrabble, something that Dee normally handles, but our next Catholic vitamin is vitamin G. It has six letters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yep, and the last letter is H. Catholic vitamin G, six letters, last letter is H. Call us at 206-350-3789. Or send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com, and we would absolutely love to put your name in a basket if you correctly guess the next Catholic vitamin. I close with a Vitaminute. I thanked God for you today. You're one of my heart's favorite people, and I want you to know that I thank God for you today. Take that as from us to you, and you might share that thought with someone you love. This is Deacon Tom. Thanks for listening. Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings. Consecrated
service of the Lord, to sit at His right hand. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. In persona Christi ad majorem pour out upon this servant your Holy Spirit from above, the grace and power of your priesthood, and your unfailing love. May the anointing of the Persona Christi ad majorem Dei.